Hey, what is going on, everybody? It's time for the RGH podcast. We took a little bit of a break last week. We were busy grinding away at the new Destiny update, and it's been pretty cool. We've been kind of talking about it a little bit before the podcast, but we're saving all our good thoughts for right now. We've got Kakus HD, we've got True Vanguard, and we've got M Trashed. Ready to talk about all things gaming. We're going to get into some Elden Ring talk today. We're going to talk about Artesian Builds and their company essentially collapsing in the past couple of days. We're going to talk about a blacklisting from Sony and whatever else happens. So it's going to be a good time.
Man, what a couple of weeks in gaming, you know? I just feel like there's always stuff going on these last few weeks. It's like the golden age of gaming again, you know? There's all these titles coming out.
No, it's not the golden age. Discord, because why am I so zoomed out? I have zoomed in on my camera app 50,000 times with the Logitech recorder thing, and then I go back into Discord, just zooms me back out.
Are you sure you did that? Because
I am positive. I
doubt it because you're a little bit delirious from not sleeping.
That is true.
For a week and a half.
I'm playing Destiny like 18 hours a day.
I know all about that.
I haven't played that much. I have played a very limited amount. I didn't finish my pinnacles on any of the characters. I haven't done the wave splitter. What's that new grenade launcher?
Dead Messenger?
Dead Messenger.
Haven't even done that quest yet. I'm
that's a pretty cool
quest.
Very nostalgic quest.
Behind. I'm enjoying my time. I'm being casual, and it's been pretty good. But is this the best DLC ever?
I mean, take it away while I plug in this.
While you're
mic.
Fumbling, trying to figure out what's going on there. You know, that's a great question, though. You know, I think it depends on where you're approaching this DLC from. I think it's the best at some things. I would say, yeah, it's the best of all the DLCs I've ever put out there. It's the best at some things, mm-hmm. but not all things. You know, I think Forsaken had a bigger splash in the PvP scape, right? Not only did we get, I mean, we got Void 3.0, but with Forsaken, we got like completely new supers and skill trees and maps and the comp mode got revamped, and you know, we just got so much stuff. So if you're coming at it from a PvP perspective, absolutely not. This isn't even in the top three DLCs of all time from Bungie in the Destiny universe. But if you're talking about like narrative exposition, oh yeah, like being like, I mean, a lot of stuff happened. I mean, not going to give any spoilers if you're still working your way through the campaign, but we learn a lot about the history of the Hive. Some new things, like we thought we knew about the Hive, and then you learn some like major twists that you're like, holy crap, you know?
It changes everything about the story, really.
It changes everything about how you see the Traveler, how you see the Hive, and with their motivations. And then they go even further into a space that I didn't think they would go into with that final cutscene at the end of the campaign. Again, no spoilers, but they're going to show you some stuff, and they're going to talk about some stuff that you didn't think they were going to show or talk about. So I think on the exposition side of things, yeah, this is banger content. And we did get a lot of PvE activities. I think the throne world itself is a beautiful landscape.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that they really swung for the fences aesthetically with that dark gothic fantasy vibe. I think they could have done better with the sort of haunted swamp vibe. I feel like when you put those two landscapes side by side, one is very clearly bigger, grander, and better, and the other one is just like, it's a swampy little area. You know what I mean? I feel like they could have done a little bit better with that aesthetic. But I will say, her castle's awesome.
Yeah. And you know, I guess one of the big things, too, is like, there's a huge piece of the pie missing until Saturday, which is the raid. Is the raid good? Is it accessible? Will lots of people play it? How good is the loot? Because I feel like the raid loot in Destiny 2 has been absolute dog meat almost every step of the way. It's like,
really?
Look at Garden of Salvation.
Trash.
Right? Trash. Okay, let's look at Destiny 2's Leviathan raid. What was God tier there? Midnight Coup was pretty good because there was a limited amount of rolls on any gun, period. So it's like, oh, well, this one has Rampage and Outlaw, right? So there's like the midnight coup, and you know, the sniper was okay, the pulse is okay, but you know, a lot of different weapons could do what that does. The newest raid, or even like if we're looking at Scourge, like the exotic for sure, and the shotgun was like maybe all right, and I don't know, I just feel like there haven't been many raids that have been god tier. Even Deepstone Crypt, there was like some fun recombination perks that were fun and different, but are people actually using them right now? Are they the meta DPS weapons? Yeah. Are they the meta? Are they the meta? I don't know about that.
Listen. Why? You're wrong. You're right and wrong at the same time. I've never heard such malarkey. Here's what's really... First of all, I open my freaking Logitech recording thing and it instantly zooms in for no reason. Discord, you're so bad. Let me adjust my camera via Discord. Anyways, it basically we went up to Garden. Like, pretty much most of the raid loot was pretty boring and average up to Deepstone Crypt. Deepstone Crypt was the first time where they said, okay, we're going to actually put some raid-specific perks like in here. And we got recombination and stuff. And then there's only been one other raid after that. It was Deepstone Crypt, right? And then it was Vogue, remade Vogue. And remade Vogue has some fire stuff. Fatebringer, they brought it back and they had added very rewind meta rounds. Fatebringer is definitely meta.
Very meta.
Rewind rounds on the sniper is amazing in PvE, although it just more depends on what the like featured weapons in PvE are, but like they have actually learned. And now I feel like this one is going to be even saucier because I bet they'll still have some raid unique perks, but then they'll have raid unique origin traits, right? Like they have all these different origin perks for like Suros seasonal stuff. They can't make Throne World have a unique origin trait and then not have freaking raid weapons not have one, right?
I feel like it is just that psycho whatever.
I'm gonna cry and throw up, and you'll see me all over Twitter, absolutely just being a huge baby and crying about it. Like honestly,
I just want them to be overall really good, really unique items so that people go back into the raids multiple times because I feel like
but. Can I say, like, I agree, you're right, but they kind of already doing that because they have the craftable weapons. Like, all the raid weapons, if you go into the crafting system, if you go and look at in Mars, every single raid weapon is in there. It's literally, you can see the raid weapons.
Yeah, the craftable.
You just can't go and look at the perks yet. So, and all of them require 5 of those red borders.
Right. Good luck for the deep site, yeah.
Yeah, so there is built-in replayability because now you're going to go in and you're obviously going to be looking for the god rolls, but then low-key you're also looking for the red rolls so that you can craft your own raid weapons and then you get the guaranteed god roll.
Baby. Question. I don't know if they'll do this, but like to force crafting and leveling, do you think that the raid weapons that drop can be god tier, but then the crafted one will have maybe like a unique perk that even those don't have?
From what we've seen,
the enhanced perks.
It's basically like you can get the god roll normally, or you can craft it, and then if you craft it, you get the enhanced perks, which are pretty minor. For the most part, enhanced perks are like
except
a
for
scam.
Ones that are getting taken down, like pulse monitor disabled, 1-2 punch, we got taken off the table.
Oh, true, yeah. They had some slight.
But example though. So let's say there is Fatebringer 2. Just like. Or any top tier weapon, like it's Fatebringer 2, and then you have the choice of grinding out and getting the enhanced perks or not. I think everyone's going to do it, right? Like if you've got a best in slot weapon with best in slot perks, you're going to take every advantage because it's like, when will you ever replace that?
Well, the only thing that they said, the devs did say, they did specifically say that some weapons might have perks that spawn randomly that you can't craft.
Right.
And I haven't seen any. Certainly the like the ones from the season and the Throne World, everything that I've gotten randomly, I think like if you go on the database and stuff, like the craftable stuff is the lootable stuff the same. So the only place where that would apply would be like grade, I assume, at this point.
Right. Yeah, that's true. So, which is cool.
Like yeah.
And, like, I feel like it's... I don't know what enemies are going to be in there, but with the campaign, even just, like, the encounter that they did in the campaign were, like, pretty good. I'm hoping that they nail this raid as well. I think the raids are always pretty good regardless. The worst raid is still some of the best content in gaming. It truly is. So I'm not too worried about it. I'm not exactly sure what enemies are going to be in there and what bosses they're going to do, but I'm
assuming it's going to be Scorn.
Scorn?
Because the whole idea is that the Scorn are in the Tangled Shore because the Witness is controlling them and directing them. That's what the story is, at least. So I'm assuming that if we're going to be going into this pyramid ship and the Scorn are the ones using pyramid tech in the throne world, I'm assuming it's going to be a Scorn raid.
I'm terrified of that.
Yes.
They're kind of scary. They truly are.
Scorn raid is actually terrifying. We've never done it.
That would be kind of nice just for variety. We've never done a Scorn raid.
Never done it. Never done it.
And never want to, but... You know, I'll take what I can get. It's just, they're so lethal. They're so much more lethal than a lot of the other...
The totems they throw out? Yeah. They just totally block, like, huge DPS things that you do. You know, like, you work up to getting your charge with light stacks or everything, and then you just go to shoot your one big shot, and then suddenly that purple totem pops up and makes everything immune.
Yeah.
And you waste it, you know?
I really enjoyed the story. The PvE activities have been good overall, but PvP, as you said at the beginning, has been pretty bad. My only hope is, because they said next season is when they're working on PvP.
Yeah.
You better start working hard, because that is so broken. Like, I can't believe how some of the things make it in there. You can be permanently invisible. You can, and you know, there's some things that I think are fair to complain about. Like, I think the invis is... It's just busted. And, like, you can shoot them a couple times and they're still invis, which I think is a mistake. But the other thing is there's other things that people complain about and say, oh, it's so OP, but I truly... It's not as crazy as people make it out to be. Example, the shield on the barricade. Now, if you pop the barricade before the fight and you pop out and I can't three-tap you and you can three-tap me, that's very strong. But there's a cooldown on it. But, like, if you use the barricade in the middle of a fight, I will just punish you and kill you almost every time. Like, I don't think I've ever gotten handcuffed by someone popping that shield and not just killing them in their animation. And so I think there's some perception issues on what seems OP and what is OP. Because when they pop the shield, it looks like their HP is full too. And so I think it baits people into going like, oh, that's impossible to kill them. And they just kind of run away.
But then you shoot them once and it takes away the entire overshield. Then and you their see HP. Their, like, red bar.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh. So... I don't know. I really do view this game as, like, a PvE game long term. And I think that's part of the issue is, like, I was and am a PvP player. And so when it's not good, I feel a little bit frustrated. And I like the PvE stuff. But if it's not, like, super challenging or interesting to me, I fall off. Or if the loot isn't really, really good and really chaseable. Because I'll do a raid multiple times, but when I'm doing Garden of Salvation and I'm looking at all the gear, I'm like, I'm not coming back in here. I'm just not wasting my time in here. I just don't care about any of these pieces of loot. So I understand power creep and, you know, maybe you can't have all the best stuff in a raid, but it has to be good enough to get people coming back or else it's kind of one and done content for me at least.
I think, though, that hopefully with an origin perk, like, even if an origin perk... I mean, if we look back at the old weapons of Destiny 1, dude, they basically had origin perks with intrinsic perks. Like, do you remember the stuff from Wrath had, like, Whirlwind's Curse, where you had more mobility and it did more damage against Fallen? Like, that's fire. That's so good.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like,
no doubt.
That's what we've always needed. And, like, apparently... When Bungie wrote the code for this game, they're writing the code for, like, Dora the Explorer, the game, and they just had, like, no room to add another intrinsic perk. They're like, we can't even do intrinsic perks anymore. So thankfully, they did some malarkey with the code, and now they're able to have those intrinsic perks. I think those intrinsic perks are key. They're already starting to matter. Like, you're already starting to see people, you know, the Suros ones with extra stability, like, for PvP and stuff. Like, people are starting to go after these specific...
Extra flinching
stuff. Yeah. Yeah, these specific intrinsic perks, I think they're really going to end up mattering. And we're just going to keep getting new and cool ones from, like, you know, future seasons and raids and all that stuff.
Well, the new Cantata hand cannon,
Cantaro,
it's got that Suros perk that reduces flinch and increases your handling. Like, that's amazing. You're going to get that to proc in more situations than not. And if the raid perks are like after getting a kill, it's almost like outlaw, you know, or some sort of damage booster, anything to do with PvE, especially if it's not specific to I can only use this in the raid. And I doubt they do. I'm sure it will be in. They'll have like kind of one that's really good in the raid and then one secondary one. If it ends up being just the raid perk and it's super, super good, I'll just use it in the raid. That's fine. Maybe it's good in PvP. I don't know. But who knows?
Have you tried any Gambit?
Okay, can we just say, overall, Witch Queen seems good. And it's like, if you're having fun in Destiny, like, just buy the Witch Queen. Like, it's probably going to be, like, you're going to get a lot of content. However,
there's a ton to do, yeah.
With that being said, as like a long-time player, looking at kind of what's going on in the game for like the economy and so on, it's a little sus, okay? So,
what do you mean by the economy?
Okay.
Break it down for us.
Like a crafting economy? Or
Bungie has capped everything. Every single material Bungie adds, there always has to be an arbitrary cap, and that arbitrary cap is arbitrarily low. Like, it's you know, forced equalization. We can't let the good players get too good. Like, God forbid people want to play our game. Because here's the thing. The materials for crafting, like, you have to have there's so many different materials. Like, it's like an unnecessary amount of materials, as always. Like, you have the neutral element you need. And then if you're crafting enhanced perks, you need another specific element, like ruinous element or energetic element. Mm-hmm. And all of those are capped at 250, right? And it takes 70, like, if I want to make an enhanced perk with ruinous element, it takes 70, right? So if I make, what, 3 weapons with enhanced, I'm out of my 250.
You gotta go back into that loop, yeah.
And you get 12 when you complete a deep sight weapon. 12. And so it's like, I'm at a weird spot where I'm at the point where the smart thing to do is to complete a deep sight and put it in your vault.
That's right, and extract it when you need it, yeah.
So, but Bungie said, hey guys, crafting system will alleviate your vault. Meanwhile, I have nothing but red weapons in my vault. Like, my vault, yeah. Like, thank God I cleared it down to like 300 out of 500. Because my vault, like, seriously, it is full of red weapons. And again, it's like, if I hand them in now, I'm literally wasting it because I'm that stupid unnecessary cap. And it's super hard to get the like gold tier, like, things, the gold for enhanced perks. It's really difficult. Like, I grinded because you have to get the deep sight weapons specific ones from Wellspring.
Yeah.
And then if you do, like, I spent 5 hours grinding, 8 hours grinding, and I got like one or two of these gold. Like, they're so low. And Bungie has already acknowledged, like, yeah, they're a little bit too low. And it's like, dude, why do you have to go through this every time?
Like, we should note, though, they also said they're buffing it on Thursday, right? Didn't they?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that at least they've acknowledged it.
Yeah.
But it's like, why is everything, why does it go up? But it's like, okay, now you have the alloys. Now you can finally get alloys. Guess what? You're still capped with ruinous, energetic, and all these other elements. You're still capped. And your allies, you can only have 10 alloys. That's it. Literally 10. Right? So here's the problem. The crafting system, Bungie pitched it as, now your vault space is going to be less, right? And now you're going to be able to experiment and change stuff with reshaping. But here's the thing. If you are reshaping one enhanced perk to another, it's to try it out, you're a complete moron. Like,
yeah, you're like, okay, do I want to cut 25% of my resources like that just to play around with some different perks?
So, yeah. Like,
or just craft like, two, because it's like, well, I'm already going and using it, you know, Ascend and Alloys. I might as well just have two versions, a PvE and a PvP one. You know what I mean?
Basically, yeah, like, yeah. You're not switching in between. What Bungie said about only needing one thing is basically a lie. The requirements on your materials are so steep that you have to basically have two dedicated roles, and then again you're filling up your vault and all your time grinding these like things. It's like this crafting system has a lot of potential, but it's like they were so scared of like people getting good weapons easily. But it just goes back to like I rather have players get bored but be satisfied in 2 weeks than have to go through 2 months of slog and misery and they're not having fun. And then they stop playing and get what they want. Like, why not just let them get what they want so they leave the game happy and they come back?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny you're talking about this because it has affected my experience playing other games. For example, just a couple weeks ago, I'm not making this up. This is a funny tie-in. I'm playing No Man's Sky with a buddy of mine. We're just shooting the breeze and we're farming on this planet for this stuff called salvage data, right? You scan the horizon, you find where a down satellite thing is, you run over to it, you dig it up, you extract the data, and then you can turn that in at that their equivalent of the tower. It's called the anomaly. You can turn that material in there to learn like blueprints to craft new parts for your base, right? Well, we're farming. We spend about 2 hours farming this stuff, and I'm like, well, I should probably go offload some of this stuff up at the anomaly. And he's like, why? I'm like, well, I've got about 100 of it. Shouldn't I go, offload some of this stuff? He's like, dude, it caps at 9,999. I was like, what?
Right.
He's like, yeah, we just keep farming. And it was like, it's weird because I actually had that anxiety as that number was going up. I was like, eventually I'm going to hit that ceiling because I play Destiny. You know, I'm used to it. Eventually you hit that ceiling and you're done farming. You got to go do something with it. But it didn't stop me from playing the game. I just kept doing what I was doing and having fun doing it. So it's funny how that like has created some other anxiety when I play other games. Like, I'm going to hit that cap. I'm going to do it, you know?
Yeah.
And even like the Postmaster system. I've been playing a ton of Horizon Forbidden West. And anytime you like loot a cache or a chest and you don't have room for that material, like you're at the cap, it'll go to your stash, right? And I'm like over here thinking, I got to go empty my stash. Otherwise, I could get a really good drop and it'll just, disappear out of my... That doesn't happen. Yeah. You know, it just stockpiles there. You know, you don't have to clear it out or anything.
Exactly. It's just like, hey, we want you to spend time playing the game instead of like trying to work your way around our annoying arbitrary systems.
Yeah.
The game's good. I just want to play. I just want to craft. I just want to level up my weapons, right?
Like, yeah, let me play your game.
It really feels bizarre. It's like Bungie's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, don't have too much fun now. What are you, dumb? Like, you gotta take your pedal off your foot off the pedal a little bit. It's like, no, I want to go hard, right?
Well, and I suppose there is another side of that, too. Because you could be like New World, where you don't regulate these things. And then something game-breaking happens within the first week and breaks the economy permanently because these things that you're supposed to work hard for are now completely saturated in the, you know what I'm saying? Like, everybody's got infinite, you know what I mean? So I suppose, I mean, there is, I guess, a little bit of, as much as we're venting about it, there is probably a little bit of merit to playing your cards close to your chest for a week or two.
At the same time, it's like, would that really even be the worst thing? Okay, let's say there's a glitch. Some Bungie intern enters something wrong, and then suddenly everyone has 3,000 Ascendant alloys tomorrow. What would happen? Nothing bad, dude. Everyone would still have to, you still have to unlock weapons, you still have to level them up. Now everyone's just like experimenting with all these cool things and having fun in the game. Like, what is, like, everyone's like worst fear apparently is people going, well, I had a blast, but I'm all done with things to do. Yeah. I'm going to be back in a couple months, but I'm just going to go play a different game. Bungie's like, no, 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 no. No, 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 no. You're going to be here, and you're going to be miserable, but you're going to be here.
If you're not here next week, you won't see what's in the store in Eververse that week. And we need you to
see. It feels... yeah, right? It feels a little sus. It's like, it really feels like these measures... It feels like Bungie is farming us for playtime sometimes. Like, that's how it feels. And although this is mostly positive, it's like, I saw some of the chats like, oh, you're overreacting. It's like, dude, what is this, year 5 of Destiny? Like, my tolerance for this crap is a little bit less. Like, why do the Wellspring drops have to be so ass? Why isn't there, like, some loot protection in Wellspring? So I was literally in there for, like, 6 hours before I got my red, like, loot. Like, why? Why isn't it have an increasing chance the longer I'm in there?
You don't sound like a real gamer. What?
Yeah.
What the hell, dude?
I guess you're right.
Are you playing 18 hours a day or 6 hours?
Yeah. You guys got me, actually. That's true.
This is an interesting comment chat. It says, can you guys speak about the stupid launch time? They should get more servers. I have to say, that was by far one of the smoothest launches
I have
ever experienced. Ever. In any game. I didn't get booted. I didn't get kicked.
Probably ever.
It was so good. I have no complaints about the launch. I'm sorry if you had a different experience. That was not mine, though. Very smooth.
Oh, I know PlayStation was behind as well, too.
PlayStation 4, their update came out at like 9 in the morning, and then they also have to copy for like 6 hours, so they got a little whammed.
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of a miscommunication there that happened, because there was like you had to do a download and an update, but then there was a second one that hit shortly after launch. I think that they just didn't sync them up correctly or something like that. But other than that, that's not like a server issue.
I think the DLC was really good. Like, I think it is really good. I think the raid will be like the final piece to see like how good was this really? Because if it's a trash raid, you know, it's a good DLC. If it's an amazing last wish type raid, like of quality, people are going to, you know, I think that brings it up in points, because I think it's definitely important. But, you know, I guess the other thing too you have to consider is like, this is the first season of this DLC and like this new year, and they're bringing all the other subclasses. Like, it, you know, there's a lot more to it that we don't see just yet, kind of thing. Yeah. That's the way I feel about it.
One thing is, Zoe said, well, 6 hours is an hour a day for a casual, so 6 days out of the whole season to get a weapon. Yeah, but it's more than that, because once you get a weapon, you have to level it up, and then once you level it up, you have to get the alloys. Once you get the alloys, then you can do an enhanced perk, and God forbid you pick the wrong enhanced perk, or you watch the wrong video, or you decide you want to use it for PvE instead of PvP, that time is going to basically double. So, it's like, I thought this crafting system was to reduce RNG, and it feels like they were kind of scared of doing that, and so they have so many RNG systems in this crafting system, so it almost like doesn't feel like it's reducing RNG, right? At the end of the day, you're going to be able to craft what you want, but there's so many RNG hurdles, it basically feels like luckily getting a god roll anyways, and the whole thing is unnecessary because 90% of the loot you can't even craft. Like the funnel web and all these other guns you have to get randomly. So they still have this RNG system. I don't know what they were so afraid of.
Yeah.
That's fair.
We should probably move on to Elden Ring.
Yeah, we should probably move on.
We've been on Destiny for half an hour now.
I've just been ranting about these economy things, but
overly very positive feelings.
There's a lot of good changes.
There's a lot of great stuff.
It's just like so much stuff, it would be so good if there was like these minor changes, right? Like Gambit. Do you guys play Gambit yet?
Yeah. I was like, what is going on with this?
How did they looked at everything and they're like, let's literally make it worse. Like, I don't know what, I think honestly, everything derives from the boss fight.
I feel it's like, too long.
It's way too long, and the fact that if you're almost killing your boss, Tash, you were a sliver away, and I come in and just have a lucky spawn and aim down sides my Galahorn and go, boosh, shoot, one shot, and destroy your team. Your boss heals to full health, and here's the kicker. Whoever, like, did this at Bungie, sadist. Like, this was just such a brutal move. Once it gets to full, you have to go through more the immune health phases. Gates. You go through.
You have to redo
phases.
I didn't even know
you
that.
You redo the health gates, Tash. You have to do.
I didn't even know that. I didn't notice it.
Five health gates in total.
No.
Yes.
I didn't even realize that because I don't think anyone invaded and like was very successful with it. Oh my god.
Yeah. So. Yes.
Then, see, I also thought like everyone has heavy, so like you can't really complain. Because, like, everyone has heavy, so it's like, oh, that guy invaded with heavy. It's like, well, you had it too. And so I was thinking, that's going to fix a lot. But, like, it also means that there's going to be G-horns, like, popping off and killing you when someone invades. And, like, the thing where if they're ADSing, they can't see you anymore. They can't see how many motes you have. Those are all things where I'm like, okay, nice, nice, nice. But that boss fight is yikes.
90% of the changes were actually good. Yeah, I like not being able to... You can't get bricks anymore. Like, you're not going to find a heavy brick. And so the problem was, like, I would get a brick, and I have 3 Galahorns, and everyone else has 0.
Right.
That was the issue. So everyone having 1 Galahorn...
Kind of
socialist gambit, right? It evens it out, right? But the problem with that is, like, when you make the boss phase so devastating that you redo immune phases, it's like I said, I can't get a normal heavy brick. So I have limited heavy that from what I've got through in that game, and I have to defend against the invaders because they have G-Horn, and if I don't use mine against them, I'm going to get destroyed. So then it's like, you have such little heavy to spare, and you use it all trying to get the boss down. If you have to redo immune phases, you're screwed. It is just...
What if they just used one of their, like, seasonal mechanics and made it so that whenever somebody invades, they don't even use their own kit. Maybe they invade with something like, you know, you've got the synaptic spear. What if they made something for Gambit so that every time the invader comes over, they have a set weapon that Bungie gives them? They don't use their heavy, they don't use their special, none of that.
All right,
that would be kind of cool.
I'll tell you right now. All right, ready? Here's how you fix Gambit. Clip this, send this to Bungie. Here's how you fix Gambit. No more health gates. Completely get rid of them. Everyone hates them, okay? Increase the boss's health to compensate.
Mm-hmm.
No more healing on an invade kill. Because if you invade and you kill an entire team, they have a longer respawn timer. They're already not DPSing, and your 3 guys are still DPSing. That's the advantage to invading. You don't need to get their boss back to full health, right? Like, if they got a huge chunk before you invaded, too bad! They're good at a gambit! Like, that's too bad! Go in there, you can still delay them as long as you want. Maybe make it so that, you know, you have to kill the invader before they go back or something like that. If they kill all 4, they can stay. I don't know, but, like, nothing feels worse than, like, you're almost there, you're so close, and 1 lucky Galahorn, you're back to 100% health, and you have no ammo, and you have 2 more immune phases to go through. And you're like, well, like, I don't even want to play anymore.
Right. So Gambit sucks. Overall, good DLC. PvP, not the best. We'll see about the raid.
I want to ask... I want to challenge you a bit. You said overall good DLC, but what's good about it? Like...
The story.
Throne World? Campaign.
Quite a bit of PvP, or PvE stuff.
PvE?
I mean, there's quite a few guns that are interesting.
Honestly,
lots of new guns.
Crafting is... I love crafting.
But the economy is so flawed.
The economy needs help.
Yeah.
But the idea, I mean, I love that I'm crafting my own god rolls right now. I do enjoy that. Yeah.
But it's like PvP is a wash.
Yeah.
Right? Like
PvP
is
rough. Something changed too. The connections, the player population is higher. The connections got worse. And I'm not exaggerating about that. I mean, in most lobbies, there is somebody, whether it's my teammate or an opponent, just teleporting everywhere. Hit registration is thrown off because of it. Aim assist is basically negated because of the lag.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened there. The player population is higher, so you would think in connection-based matchmaking, my connections would be better. No, they got worse. The lobby
terrible.
Balancing is just bending me over and just giving it to me. You know what I'm saying? It's horrible.
This is what I'm saying. It's like people are like, yeah, this expansion's good. But it's like, okay, what do you like about it? Well, the campaign was fun. Okay. Are you done with the campaign? Yeah, I'm not going to play it again. Okay. Do you play it in Gambit? What? Gambit sucks. Do you play any PvP? PvP sucks. Do you craft any weapons? I can't. I have no materials. It's like there is undoubtedly good things, but I think there's some major flaws that Destiny 2 players like just kind of want to overlook because like the whole world has changed and there's a whole narrative and like you feel like you're part of this big thing. And again, there's some great things. I don't want to crap on this DLC too much, but it's like you can't like ruin 2/3 of the game. Like PvP, a lot of people are just like, it's like, we don't even talk about it. It's so unplayable with the invisibility. Like, it's just like, PvP is gone. Gambit, gone. Can't even talk about these, right?
Is that why
I feel like it matters?
Is that why
I
returned and I was like, damn, good story, but I'm still kind of like, hey, I'm kind of burnt out already. Is that why? Because I'm like,
I think so.
There's still like a lot of problems. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know.
And then It's like, yes, like literally, what do you like about the campaign? Well, the campaign's sweet, but it forces you to play it three times to run three characters. So by the end, you literally don't care about Savathun anymore, right?
Well, I mean, there's more than just a campaign. The campaign, the spaces, I mean, the new patrol space is phenomenal. I did enjoy the whole, like, Finch rank grind. I did enjoy that whole process. Not bad. I do like that I am crafting. Yes, I need to work on the systems. I also enjoy Wellspring. I also enjoy the new seasonal content. We haven't even talked about that, but I actually do dig the new seasonal content, the new weapons. The Wellspring weapons are fantastic. Ooh. Some great gear.
Once you try to get the Wellspring weapons, you're going to end up hating Wellspring, because I liked Wellspring too, and 6 hours in, I was like, I'm done with this.
Trust me, I got my fully crafted sniper rifle with all enhanced perks today, and it was like, for me, I mean, I got pretty lucky from start to no red border sniper rifles all the way to fully crafted with enhanced perks was about a 7 hour grind for one gun.
And that's pretty intense, I thought I was lucky. You were, that's literally
hours.
Lucky, yeah. I mean, yeah. And that's just what I'm trying to get at here. Like, everyone is kind of really fawning over this expansion, and I think it's overall a good expansion. And if you're having fun in Destiny, 100% it is worth your money, because you're going to get so much more Destiny. However, I think a lot of people are completely overlooking these really big issues. Like, you can't just ruin Gambit, ruin PvP, ruin the economy, and be like, yeah, but look past all that stuff. I feel like that's kind of big stuff. And thankfully, they've acknowledged it, and they say they're going to fix it. But I feel like they really need to get on this stuff, because I, like, yeah, the campaign's fun for so long, and then you're going to try to craft something, and you're going to start to be really upset.
Really quickly, too. I saw a picture where it was like trying to get my friends into the new new Destiny update, and then I had to send them a picture of like the cost on Steam, and it was like if you wanted to get Beyond Light, and then if you wanted to get this stuff, and it's like hundreds of dollars to get into Destiny if you want all the content. You don't need all the content, but like, are you going to miss out on Stasis? Are you going to miss out on like some of this stuff? And it's, you know, that is a kind of a tough point too. And then, you know, they take some things away that you did buy, and it's, you know, I wonder if that is a bit of a roadblock where it's a deterrent, I think, for a lot of people. And, you know, my Genshin audience that's all free to play, they saw me playing Destiny, and I'm like, oh, well, you know, you can try it out for free and stuff. And then they're looking at the price, and they're like, what is this? Like, this is, I can't afford this. And
meanwhile, so, yeah, they'll spend $500 trying to wish for one waifu.
Yeah, exactly. Some people will.
That's why they can't afford it, TV.
True.
That's right.
But
we gotta move on, guys. It's like quarter till.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
But do you want to go to Elden Ring?
Dude, yes.
Let's talk about Elden Ring.
Are you playing Elden Ring? I know
Mike,
you were pretty excited
about it. Oh, baby, I'm already grinding it. That's why I'm not playing as much Destiny as I probably should.
I want to know, as a Souls game fan, how do you feel about it?
Is
this like a progression, or is this a regurgitation of what they're good at?
It is. Because I played all the Souls games, probably 100 hours minimum each. Like, some of them I played 200 hours, because I've made multiple characters and re-rolled characters and done great sword characters and mages. There's a ton of magic, and it's very strong, and it's fun. Like, some of the magic spells are wicked. There's, like, summons that you can get really early. The magic system's awesome. Riding around on your horse, pretty cool. Melee combat is melee combat, and it is classic Dark Souls difficulty. In fact, even though I'm a veteran of the game, I would say some of the first bosses are some of the harder bosses, like, for where you are in the game. Like, it was almost shockingly hard. I was like, holy shit.
Did you fight the knight off the start?
I fought him. That was okay. Just, like, patience.
But apparently, you're supposed to just go past that guy.
Oh, yeah. you're supposed to sneak past him, because he's, like, pretty hard for your level. But, like, the first boss, like, the meaningful boss, if you compare it to Dark Souls 1 and some of the other ones, they're usually, like, a big giant that stomps, and they're pretty basic. This one had, like, relentless, like, four-hit combos, and then he had this, like, attack where he'd throw a big hammer down, and then he'd bait you with it. He'd be like, oh, I'm gonna do it, and then he'd pull out this little dagger and stab you, and he was like, what is this? So they threw a get-good moment at you very, very quickly. Like, very quickly. But there's some mini-bosses around, and if you do exploration, there's some more basic enemies, and I think that's the plan. Is you're going to go get beat by that first boss a few times, You go explore for a bit, you come back in a bit, and you kind of do that for each region, because there's caves and little dungeons you can enter, and I think overall it's been fantastic. You know, it's almost like that Pokemon Arceus, the new one, where I feel like it's almost like a proof of concept in some ways. Like, the frame rate is struggling in a couple spots, and like...
And there's no plant physics.
No plant, I guess.
See that tweet that blew up?
Yeah. You know, will they make Elden Ring 2 and make it even better? Because there's a new Pokemon that got announced, like the Scarlet.
Yeah.
Pokemon Scarlet. And it just looks like Pokemon Arceus number 2. Like, it just looks like the proof of concept was that one, and now it's even better. And so Elden Ring, I think there's definitely some stuff that they could improve on, but it is overall very, very good. My only question is, does the open world confuse players, or does it actually add anything? Because, the Dark Souls games are very well crafted, and you go from area to area, and they flow together, and the maps, there's quite a bit of exploration, and even that journey almost tells a bit of a story, and I wonder if maybe that gets lost in the open world aspect. I'm not sure. I really don't know. And the fact that, like, in the open world, in a lot of cases, you can skip ahead and you can actually find some really OP stuff early if you wanted to. And it's like, does that ruin the game? I don't know. I don't know if that does. For some people, they love that. You could do it in
Zelda.
I've
heard, though, that the open world is actually pretty populated. And there's, like, stuff going on.
It is. It is. Yeah. Like, it's... And it's like... I think more what I meant by the Arceus thing is, like, the frame rate. Like, even on my PC, like, I've got a 2080 Ti, which isn't the best of the best, but, like, sometimes it's chugging along a little bit, and like, yeah. I can't imagine it on console. Like, it'd probably be chugging a little bit more, but...
I was gonna ask something, but I forgot what it was.
The way you say it, Tash, like, I've been hearing nothing but 10 out of 10, this game is, like, God himself transcending into a video game and just giving it to you. Like... Mm. You know, Critical was like, yeah, amazing game, so much to do, like 80 different bosses. Like, everyone, it seems like, who is a fan of the Souls genre is, like, really happy with this game.
Oh, I am. Like, I'm critiquing it very heavily of, like, yeah, you know, overall. But the thing is, like, even the worst Souls game, if you're a Souls fan, is better than most games. Like, in my eyes. So it's like...
But it's a divisive genre. Because I'm seeing actually a lot of mixed things, because Elden Ring got so much pre-launch hype that I think a lot of people got caught up in that hype, and they were like, oh, this game's apparently supposed to be like God's gift to mankind. Yeah. I'm going to buy it. And then they return it, or they're like, I don't know, man. This isn't my thing. So, like, could this be a Game of the Year contender, or is it too 100%. Niche of a genre? Because it is unapproachable for you know, in some regards, just somebody that doesn't like getting their butt handed to them in a video game over and over and over again before they prevail. You know what I mean?
I think also the reviews, can I say, like, you said the review hype, the people who reviewed this game were like, I remember, like, IGN and everyone, like, people, you know, the guy at IGN who loves Souls games was like, give me, because he's hyped for it, right?
Right, right.
So it's like the reviews often were done by people who like and play Souls games. Like, from what I saw. So they're all like, we love this. And yeah, I think you're right. Like, you know, Brock from Kappa Beta Psi, who plays Call of Duty, was like, I'll get Elden Ring, and just gets destroyed by the first boss, right? Like, Brock is not prepared for this, right? Brock plays Warzone, not Elden Ring. And so I think I do have that disconnect. Now, that's not this guy's fault. It's just, like, everyone is praising this game, but it is, like, you have to like this style of game. And that's why I've always make fun of it. It's like, oh, is when the Souls fans get so mad at me when I say this, but I'm like, oh, is it is this boss fight the one where you have to wait until he's about to swing and then dodge out of the way and then smack him and then dodge out of the way? And they're like, that's not the game. That's not. And then I watch gameplay of every boss fight, and it's literally just that. And
well, did you see the Souls community? They're funny. I mean, they are. I will say this: they are a passionate group, and I love that. But did you see them just band together to absolutely hate on this guy that posted this? The clip was like, titled something along the lines of, was this the guy that you guys are all having trouble with? And he basically, like, dodges away from the boss and hits it with a spell. And dodges away and hits it with a spell. And he spams the same spell, like, 12 times until the boss dies. And it's like this stoic cat that, like, hops around. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
And everyone was, like, having a hard time with this boss. And he got lit up by the Souls community. They're like, that's because you're using stupid magic cheap spam attacks. And it's right. Like... The guy's like, I just played the game, and, like, you said the boss was hard, and he ended up, like, deleting his tweet, was, like, saying he was getting, like, accosted.
I would have kept it up. I've been like, this is your stupid game, just because you want to use the long sword of dragon slaying, just, like, I'm going to use the spells, because it's free.
That's right.
One of the comments said, Sekiro won Game of the Year, and that was super hard. Yep. That's like a Souls game. Yep. So, my thing is, like, Elden Ring has been hyped for so long. I'm sure a lot of people will pick it up and hate it, but a lot of people will pick it up and love it. And, like, maybe this converts some people to Souls fans because they've been too scared to try it. And then they're like, all right, I'm going to finally do it. When you die to your first basic enemy and you go, oh, God, it almost ignites something in you. Not for everyone, but it's like, all right, I got to figure this game out. Like, is it actually this hard? You fight the first boss and get crushed and it's like, well, I gotta beat it. Like, I can't just give up, you know? It's my first time playing, like, I was like, this game is trash. And then after my fifth time dying, I was like, I'm gonna beat this game.
Yeah. No, dude, like, and it looks so beautiful. Like, the world is so beautiful and it looks so interesting. And I keep seeing, like, TikToks and random stuff of, like, all the different, like, bosses and stuff. And I'm like, even I'm, like, considering, I know I'm gonna hate it, but even I'm like, well, what if I don't hate it, right? So it looks like such a cool game. But every time a game like this comes out, and it happened with Sekiro, and it's going to happen now. Every time a game like this comes out, it, like, by design, it's a hard game. Mm-hmm. It's like, by design, it has those get good moments. And then there's always a big debate about, like, why isn't there a super easy mode, right? Like, I want to go in and experience the game for the narrative. And then you have people saying, the point of this game is to be challenging, and then there's other people saying stop gatekeeping. Like, there's always, like, a big debate on, like, a super easy mode on these, like, Souls-like games.
Right. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, get good.
Get good?
No, I like it. It's kind of like you're removing. I understand. I mean, heck, if they did add it, like, I'd probably get the game. I'd be the guy who's like, I don't like the game normally, but it looks like a cool game and a fun time if it had a super easy mode. So it's weird. Like, that would be designed for someone like me. But at the same time, it's like, I'd also feel like it kind of just defeats the soul of the game is, like, that it's challenging. And it's like you're kind of the whole, like, the rush of beating a hard boss is just like, and what the game is designed around is just diminished.
Right. And that's fair. I mean, even my character right now, like, I'm yoked. I've got a big greatsword, and, like, the last boss I fought, I crushed it. Because I did some exploring, I leveled up, I came back and crushed it. And I didn't have as much sense of achievement, because it was like, oh, I stomped that thing. But I know I'm going to hit a wall in a bit. I don't know. It's like...
It's always interesting.
There's so many factors when you come to a game, because it's like, could you make it free to play? You know, do you make an easy mode? Like, where do you want to do it? Are you taking away from the artistic vision of that game? But I don't think the Souls games will ever change. They've got their vision, and they're like, get good or don't play. And, like, we know that it isolates people, but, like, we're sorry. And I'm not going to lie, the story isn't that good, typically. It's very, there's not a lot there. It's pretty hidden in the lore of weapons. If you want to know the lore of the game, go watch Vati Vidya, who reads all the lore from all the weapons, and he'll tell you what happened. You know what I mean? Like, but you won't figure it out yourself.
Interestingly, though, it's like I always used to kind of look at the Souls community as like a niche community. Like, all these are these guys that, like, they're like super hard dungeon crawler games, right?
Yeah.
But then, like, with Ghosts, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, not Ghost of Tsushima. Sekiro. Whatever you
say. Sekiro.
Yeah,
Sekiro.
That. And now this... Like, the hype for this game is insane. I see it everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's not necessarily a niche community anymore. Like, people are really... Like, the Souls games are huge, man. Like, I see that Iron Pineapple guy post, like, I found 9 Souls-like games on... It's like 5 million views. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm like, brother. Like, how many people? I didn't even think people knew the term Souls-like games. I was like, 20 people on Reddit knew that term, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's become like a huge, almost like self-contained genre, or not even self-contained, but huge genre now.
Mm-hmm. Which is great. You know, even things that interest me 0%, I still root for them. Like, a rising tide raises all ships. When gaming is winning, hey, I'm winning. Even if I don't play those games. That's why I love whenever there's a new game that comes out that people are thrilled about and I have zero interest in it. I still am happy about that. You know, so I'm rooting for Elden Ring. I want Elden Ring to be as successful as possible. I really don't have a ton of interest in it. I mean, I'll get around to playing it, but my hype levels aren't like through the roof or anything.
Right.
So I'll get around to it. But hey, I'm very excited about the fact that people are loving this game.
Mm-hmm. I'm happy that it was like an unbelievably hyped game and it actually launched pretty well. You know, like, yeah. It's not a Cyberpunk, it's not a Battlefield. It, like, to most people, it delivered.
Yeah.
Battle failed.
Ugh.
Speaking of delivered, can you imagine, giving away a PC, the person comes to claim it and they say, actually, we're going to change the rules on that. See, Artesian Build, or Artisan Build, or whatever the hell you want to call them, they are a PC, or were a PC company, that is rapidly bleeding all sort of influencers supporting them. People are blacklisting them. And now they have lost their ability to sell PCs in California due to alleged tax evasion. So things have escalated now to the point where it is, but it all started with a live stream giveaway. They're doing a live stream giveaway. And they were giving it out to a ambassador or a partner of them who had their link and in their bio and a picture of their stuff and stuff. And then they
they're a Twitch streamer. They're a small Twitch streamer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, small Twitch streamer.
And in the about section, you have to have a little Artesian Build, a little square. Yeah.
And so they had that. They had everything they needed to enter the giveaway. They won the giveaway as a small streamer, and they expect, all right, well, now I get the PC. But they don't get the PC. In fact, what they do is they say, yeah, your numbers aren't good enough. No one has clicked that link. No one has actually bought a PC from us. So we're going to re-roll it. And the guy essentially just keeps condescending, like, and making like trashy comments towards her.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it was like,
you could just say no, but he's like, yeah, your numbers are brutal.
And your numbers suck. And your audience isn't diverse enough.
It was savage. So yeah, like they picked the winner. They're like, then the winner is True Vanguard. Let me look this person up. And they're like, ooh, like 2,000 Twitter followers?
Don't like his beard.
And they're like, not enough followers. And they're like, concurrent viewers? Ooh, those are pretty trash too. Ooh. And they're like, oh, and here's the kicker. No one has clicked that affiliate link. No one. And they're like, and it's like, I literally couldn't even believe it. Like, I'm like, you're streaming this? Like, this
That's
is
right.
like... This isn't, like, captured via, like, a hidden camera, bro. I'm like, you're streaming this in public and you're acting like this? Like,
yeah, willingly said it on their live stream.
And, on purpose.
And, like, just,
on purpose.
Just roasting them. Just roasting them. I was like, oh, my God.
They just kept going.
Yeah.
Now, I will... I don't want to sound like I'm defending Artesian Builds because I'm not. But I will say... Something interesting was that kind of piqued my attention, right? Caught my ear was when they said, no one's clicked your link. And I kind of understand the reason they said that and the reason they said like, oh, this is why you're out of the competition, I assume is just so that people won't, like, obviously for them, if they're giving away this multi-$1,000 PC, they want people to promote their brand too. And so I think their idea was we give it to affiliates. So you're a small streamer, but you have Artesian Build link and you say, hey guys, go check out Artesian Builds down in the description, right? And they're and I think why they got mad is because they were like, oh, no one clicked your link. And so what they were trying to prevent is I enter this competition. I haven't streamed on Twitch in 5 years. I just slap a little image in my about and I'm like, I'm in this competition too. And I've never mentioned their products ever, mm-hmm. right? And so I understand trying to avoid that. However, that was not part of the rules. They said, listen,
right.
You're a small creator. You have this link. You're entered. You can't then say, well, people have to click the link.
Move the
Again,
goalposts, yeah.
It makes sense
it makes sense, like, why they wanted, they were like, I understand that they were like, oh, people should be clicking this link, mm-hmm. but unless you literally have that as an official rule, you have to say you have to get 10 clicks a month, then yeah. you're done. You can't change the rules.
Right. And it's like, if you care about that so much, then go through your data of the people that have links and that are promoting it and do a giveaway internally through that.
100%.
You know?
Like, it was so unbelievably unprofessional to, like, check before you pick the winner. Check to make sure they're actually getting clicks on their thing.
Don't right? do it live on stream.
Yes, like if that's what you're worried about, if you're like, listen, obviously we want to give it to people who are actually promoting our business. Again, that makes sense, right? But to pick a winner first and then roast everything about her. And here's the thing. Honestly, I'm trying to play devil's advocate almost too much because it was the last thing they mentioned. They roasted everything about this Ooh. Poor streamer until they got to the click links. If they would have just said like, hey, literally no one has clicked your link, so we yeah. don't know if you've put this in 15 minutes before this competition, right? And obviously we're trying to avoid that. If they would have said that, maybe, but no, it was like, look at your channel size. Look at your concurrent viewers. You're literal dog water. And it was like,
it's
oh!
so funny the way this shook down too, because it's like, us and the streamer, you know, we are big, powerful PC building company and you're tiny little peon. And then what yeah. ended up happening was like, they got canceled and she got like mega promoted.
Oh.
The other PC builders were like, hey, we'll give you a free PC. You know, like, she got a PC. She got plus 20,000 followers on Twitter. She got plus 20,000 followers on Twitch. It's like, my, how the turntables, you know what I'm
yeah,
saying? Like,
yeah.
It was really funny the way that whole thing shook down. Like, never underestimate the power of the internet, you know?
Now, speaking of...
I know.
Didn't they get in trouble for... I'm sorry. Oh. Didn't they get in trouble for tax evasion, too?
Yeah.
Didn't that come out?
For California, yeah. apparently. I don't know if it's like...
apparently
sure,
the...
But...
Also, Dash, apparently the gain on my mic is loud suddenly, even though I literally didn't change it since
See,
I started
you
talking.
You sound good fine to me.
You sound good to me.
But I can't testify to how it sounds in stream. To me, you sound fine.
I was really loud before I had to turn myself down, but that's just me.
Chat just relaxes, you know?
Just
get used to a little bit of
chill.
He's so loud.
A little bit of yelling, okay? You never know. But holy crap, dude. Like, they had... Did you see the apology by the CEO?
It was so bad.
Yeah.
Dude, someone retweeted
it
and said that they're like, is this dude recording this on a CB radio? Like, it was, you think my mic quality is bad, dude? This guy, I literally have no idea what mic he was recording on because it was like, it was so bad.
Yeah.
It was like
the notes app on his phone.
It sounded like
had
a,
it
yeah.
like over there.
It sounded like a 1950s like radio broadcast, like not even.
It was to
you know?
It was to distract you from what he was saying.
Exactly.
Like, sorry, I didn't catch that. What was that?
Oh, but also like it was kind of weird why it was so bad, because it was like, you obviously have the correct mics set up when you were streaming, you idiot. Like, just
That's
use
right.
the
just
same
do that.
mics, dude. Like, we caught everything you were saying when you were roasting this girl
like,
live.
Hey Alexa, record this.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm really sorry by the way that I handled all the situations.
He was like,
hey guys, yeah, I'm really sorry about this situation.
I was like, it was actually so weird. I was like, why does this guy sound so bad? It was like, how did he look at that and be like, all right, put it out. Like,
ship it, baby.
Ship it, baby. We're good to go.
I think that guy's just like a douche. Like, I think that's
yeah.
all there is to
well,
it. He just seems like a douche.
Well, that's why it just like you could tell like it didn't matter that much. Like, if the sound quality is that bad and he wasn't like, you know what, I should re-record it with a better quality, like if he's like, I don't care, just put it out, like yeah. obviously that's his, you know what I mean?
Yeah
So
in other news, speaking of getting canceled, this isn't quite the same thing, but a third independent third party company that reviews video games got blacklisted by Sony. Says, we will never, ever, ever send you another review code. You are no longer allowed to review arcades. which I thought was hilarious.
Wait, is that the quote? Is that what they said?
Not verbatim.
Okay.
Not verbatim. But that's basically what they said. You're blacklisted. They said we're not sending any more review codes your way. So this company, they're called Stiviver. I don't know if that's how they prefer to be pronounced. This is the way I've always pronounced them. I'm not overly familiar with them, but I do know a bit about them. They're fairly well-trafficked website, and they offer reviews of video games. But Stiviver was blacklisted by Sony because they are notorious Xbox fanboys. Which isn't necessarily a problem to have like a preference for a platform. Everyone has platform preferences. Most people have a platform preference. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But Sony felt like they were allowing it to impact the way that they reviewed video games. Like, PlayStation games would consistently get reviewed poorly, while Xbox titles of similar or worse value would be rated more favorably. For example, Horizon Forbidden West, they rated at 65 out of 100, which is a D. I mean, that game is by the most critical standards usually a B plus, if not A tier, S tier game. Ghost of Tsushima, 70%, they gave it a C, so they gave it a 70%, you know. Last of Us Part 2, they gave a B minus. Days Gone, they gave it a D. Death Stranding, they failed it at 30, like a 30 rating. Meanwhile, Halo Infinite was a 95, almost a perfect score. Halo Infinite, which is...
Didn't even have half the game.
Yeah, which yeah. is kind of on the struggle wait, bus, wait.
Yeah, Halo
by the
Infinite,
way.
Halo Infinite multiplayer that came out early, or the campaign,
the
or Halo
game.
Infinite
this
3 months
their...
from now when we get Forge mode.
Yeah, right, this was their score on launch. It's like almost a perfect game, baby. And it's like, we got no roadmap. We don't know where we're going. We got no campaign for you. You can't play with your friends. You know what I'm saying? Like, Flight Simulator, almost a perfect score at 95, while Horizon Forbidden West was a D. You know what I'm saying? Forza Horizon 5, they gave a perfect score of 100. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's not to say they've never reviewed a PlayStation game favorably. They certainly have. Some of them they have reviewed favorably, like Miles Morales, which got 95. So it's not like all of them, but it's enough to make a pretty solid argument that, hey, you kind of got a chip on your shoulder against Sony, and you got a major inexplicable hard-on for Xbox. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, we don't feel like giving you review codes anymore if you're just gonna tank, you know, our score. So, anyways, they got blacklisted. They actually tried to circumvent the blacklist by going behind their back and having one of their reviewers try and get a review code independently, like as an independent reviewer, and they're like, ah, no, we know who you work for.
Yikes, dude.
Get
That's
wrecked.
Crazy. Because I wonder, like, so, you know, do you guys see Video Game Donkey's review of, like, Horizon? He didn't like it.
Oh, really?
Because he was kind of saying, he's like, I've played this game so many times before. Is it the game where you run around and climb stuff and then, like, get minor loot and get in a fight every once in a while? It's like, wait, I've already played this game. It's called, you know, Uncharted. It's Far Cry. Like, it's like this, like, open world exploration game. And I did see his point. Because I was playing Horizon, and I was having some decent fun. I was like, it's not bad. And then I found out that you couldn't respec your skill points, and I quit on the spot. I was like, all right. Because I was confused about, like, the you have to have a certain weapon or something to use
it's
certain
so
skills.
It's so easy to get skill points, though. Like, you
yeah,
could
but
just
I
play for...
spent, like, I wanted to do, like, six. I didn't, like, but, like, I might go back to the game, but I'm saying, like, this was before Destiny, but I was just like...
The game is a whole freaking experience,
okay,
man.
But why can't you respec your skill points? Like, bro, this is 2022.
Because you don't need to, because you go do one side mission and you get 4 skill points in the process. Like,
let me respec my skill points. But...
Play for 15 minutes and get more.
No, let me respec my skill points. No, I see your point, but I was saying, like, I do understand where it's, like, that exploration, everything was beautiful, but this was Donkey's argument. He's like, everything was beautiful, but everything was pretty by the book. It was like, there wasn't any huge risks taken. It was like generic loot system, you know, very by the books open world exploration. You're a fanboy, but I was like, okay, this actually does make a little sense.
I mean, call me a fanboy, but I think that people get hung up on the idea of innovation.
Yeah.
And they let execution fall at the wayside. I would rather see somebody execute a genre fan freaking tastic and knock it out of the park. And they took a genre of game and they executed it very well. And if you were expecting something different, that's on you. They took everything they did in the first game and they decided, let's do it, but do it better. The world is more populated, it is more beautiful, it is more interactable.
I'll admit it's
a whole freaking experience.
I'll admit you have a really good point because, like, Battlefield 2042 tried to innovate with the specialists and it was an absolute disaster and they should have just gone back to the normal Battlefield classes. So that's a good point where it's like, hey, we didn't do anything new, but guess what? Everything we did was unbelievably polished.
Like, seriously, when I go to an Italian restaurant and I order lasagna and they bring me a lasagna with walnuts in it, and they're like, we tried to do something really creative and innovative. I'm like, no, I just wanted a really freaking good lasagna. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather somebody give me what I expected and execute it real freaking well. And if they tell me up front, we're swinging for the fences with innovation, we're going to take some chances and do some new stuff, that's fine. But they never set that expectation. So if you as a reviewer go into the game expecting crazy amounts of new innovation and not execution, that's on you.
The argument might also be, though, like for example, I will probably never play another Far Cry game because I feel like the last four have all been the same thing. Like, the story's
Far
cool.
Far Cry peaked at
But I'll watch, like, a synopsis 30. Of the story. I'm not going to play through the missions. It's like, go to the tower or, like, go to the compound and clear it out and raise the alarm. It just feels like the same thing. And, you know, even Assassin's Creed, I played the first one and I dabbled in the second. I was like, all right, I get it. But they have tried to change it up a little bit with, like, Odyssey and stuff. So, like, maybe they loop you back in. But
Assassin's Creed, went full RPG now, basically.
Right? Yeah, so they've changed it up and, like, maybe they loop some people like me that they lost. But,
you know, and I actually appreciated Valhalla. I actually really enjoyed it. I played a ton of Valhalla. I played more of Valhalla than I did any other Assassin's Creed game because it struck on some of the things that I like in video games, but it abandoned some of the things that Assassin's Creed fans like.
So
it was really interesting.
I actually was playing Odyssey, and I played, like, I was quite a few, like, 50 hours in or something, like, maybe even more. I was playing quite a bit, and then I just kind of hit a wall where it was, like, my, like, 20th base that I was inside in grass, killing people, going back in the grass. And I was like, it's literally every single castle and base is going to do this exact same thing. This is the game. This is the game over and over again. And then I quit because I was like, I beat the game, basically. Like, I haven't been to this region, but I know there's castles there, and I know the castles have little things of grass, and I know I'm going to have to hide in the grass when people go by, and then I kill them. It's like, I get it.
And that's fair. And some games, it's like, you can't keep replaying. For me, I played Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, Dark Souls 2, Dark Souls 3, Sekiro. Now I'm on Elden Ring. I played Bloodborne, and it's like, throw another one at me. I will keep doing it. I will keep sucking. I will keep having a hard time with the boss. I will keep leveling up and then beat it easier. And, like, I don't get sick of the loop.
I will suckle at the tit of Dark Souls till the dying breath.
I know it's going to be hard. I know that some of the weapons have the same setups and everything. I'm doing the same greatsword build that I did in Dark Souls 3, but I like it. And I'll keep doing it. And so, you know, I get it. There's some people that say, don't reinvent the wheel or just, take that wheel and put it in another spot.
I'm still shooting thralls.
Yeah.
In Destiny.
Dude, you're still grinding Nightfalls on the last day of the season. And I'm like, what are you doing? What are you possibly hunting for? Like, I just can't.
Yes, but this season I'm doing it with volatile rounds. Mike?
Yeah.
It's totally different.
Fair. Anyways, I think that's it for the most part for these main topics. We'll take a few moments to answer any burning questions in the chat with a little RGH After Dark.
So
we got like $34 in donations. Thank you so much.
Thank
we got
you.
Some members coming back. We appreciate that as well.
So before we're going into RGH After Dark, which is where you guys can ask us some questions. First things first, though, we got to thank our sponsor, Advance GG. We got Cactus Kiwi Lime and Tash Mango Splash right here. Advance GG.
Oh.
Really fantastic energy drink out there. There's a link in the description. Just Google Advanced GG. And if you use code RGH, you get 10% off. And actually, here's something important to know. If you're like, dude, what the heck are these guys pitching this weird energy drink? It's just a nice thing. You get it in a powdered form. You have all these flavors. You put it in some water, stir it up. Like, this thing is going to last you a long time. Looks small, but you just need a little scoop, right? So I've been pounding Advanced GG every single day as I'm sleep deprived doing Destiny right. content. Like, I'm going hard. But they actually just introduced these starter kits. Like, I have a Kakas HD starter kit that just came out. It comes with, like, a sticker. It says, like, what is up, guys? And today, but all the starter kits are they're like, what's up, guys? Rick Kak is here. And today,
I'm amazed they were able to fit your whole intro on a sticker.
I know. And it's not 20 years long. Anyways, there's only 500 stickers and it's 50% off. So it's $10. And then what you can do is you use code RGH and it's another 10% on top of that 50% off. So it comes with four little packets. It comes with my flavor, Tash's flavor, I think Mr. Fruit's flavor, and another flavor. So you can try a bunch of flavors, see if you like it. It's $10, right? Advanced GG. All right.
Yeah. I have 2,000 shaker cups that I need to sell. They made like a custom Genshin Impact one with me, like with a Claymore and like a Hydro Vision. It's actually pretty sick.
This is a little bit of a leak, but I'm going to say it anyways.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting my custom shaker, and they showed me the design, and it looks fire, dude. It looks nice. Really good.
Is it as good as your hoodie?
It is.
Your 1 million hoodie?
As good, if not better.
I'm going to beat you to a million right away here. We're getting close.
Beat me to a million?
I'm going to meet you at a million.
Oh, meet you're going to pass me, dude. You're going to pass well by me.
Well, it's the
you
it's
can
the
beat
titties,
me when you
right?
Get to a million too. Oh,
it, yeah, yeah. Anime titties.
Actually, another leak
with that.
Anime game that everyone is excited about that like potentially got canceled is not canceled and your boy is going to play it soon and it's like it's going to change everything. Tower of Fantasy. Everyone was saying it was canceled. It's like kind of like a Genshin Impact clone kind of thing. And then it launched in China and it like wasn't the best launch. And then apparently it was like, yeah, the global launch is canceled.
To play over there.
Yeah, exactly. But apparently it's still coming out. So I'm like jacked up because I might have a new game to play soon. Because Genshin's in a bit of a slow turn. There's a new region, you know, in 30 days or so, but it's in a slow spot. That's for damn sure.
All right, so what we're doing here, guys, go ahead and ask your questions, and we're going to do our best to answer your questions here.
Lone Wolf asked what I put on my Father Sins sniper. Yeah, I totally crafted my own God Roll Father Sins with enhanced perks. I did, most people are like, it's a sniper rifle, I need snapshot. You got to think outside the box. It's a 140, the handling is already... I put fluted barrel on it, which bumps the handling up to 85. And then I crafted for the base trait at range. I could have done handling and bumped it up to 95, but I did range for the base trait, flared magwell for faster reloads and more stability, and then I did under pressure, enhanced, and opening shot enhanced. And this is like a pre-nerf Twilight Oath. It feels so consistent, so good, since they neutered the crap out of 140s. This sort of offsets
it. Is this the first time a sniper can get under pressure?
No. So under pressure
but not common, right?
It's not common, but it's the first time you can get it on a 140, which is what's important. So
The other thing too is opening shot would be really nice for the aim assist, I'm sure.
Yeah, range and accuracy, stability and accuracy with under pressure.
And you could probably throw that on a warlock with Ophidian and have essentially snapshot, right? Doesn't that up the
basically
right?
It ups the handling speeds, the handling speeds are already really freaking high. Yeah, Dragon Shadow would do it to you.
Yeah,
it gives the intrinsic, but yeah, the handling speeds are really high on 140s. Anyways, you don't need snapshot.
Quick scoping, guys, with snapshot is kind of dead. Anyways, you get flinched so bad with snipers now. Like you need to hold the lane, they pop out, you kill them more often than not. Now I find like it's they really neutered aggressive sniping in my opinion.
Crit buff with the $50 donation says nothing but love and respect. Even if Rick thought that shotgun was S tier, maybe he's talking about the Zer one. I still thought that shotgun was very good. The Zer showed like the lightweight one, a quick draw Vorpal shotgun with full choke as well. The good barrel. I think it just had a bad magazine,
yeah,
or something. I was like, get the shotgun. And people have been playing the game for 5 years. Like, I have a better shotgun. I was like, of course
you've been playing the game for 5 years.
You've been playing the game for 5 years. This video is for you. They're for Johnny, like the guy who just started the game yesterday, getting ready for the Witch Queen.
We got a $5 donation from Chip Cunningham as well. And then a question from Zen. Steam Deck came out recently. Have you seen any reviews, thoughts, and are you getting one? I probably won't get one, even though it's like, whoa, I could play all my Steam games, you know, like on a bus. I just don't feel the need to do it. I just don't.
He said
I don't travel enough.
He said something about like Bungie is like, it doesn't work on the Steam Deck and they don't want you to play Destiny on the Steam Deck or something.
Yeah, they don't want to support it apparently. Or they're not going to support it. And I don't know why, because it's like, isn't it just playing it off Steam? I don't know what the difference is. I don't know how
that. I can't talk to it.
I had no idea. That it seems so weird. Maybe it's because they had like a deal with Stadia and they're like, no more like
secondary separate, like peripheral type things.
Maybe, but like Stadia is like pretty dead at this point. Like people still play it, but it's like just, not like.
It just confuses me because it's like, isn't Steam Deck just supposed to play your Steam game? So why
your
wouldn't
Steam
it
library
play?
They're banning people for playing on Steam Deck? You cannot play D2 on Steam. Bungie said you could get banned for trying to work around. Why? Oh, was it? It was security with Linux because it's on Linux and.
I guess interesting.
So that might not be a Bungie thing. They might have like made a deal with BattleEye, and BattleEye's like, bro, we can't handle Linux. Like, we don't know what the hell we're doing here.
So if it would be a way of circumventing their anti-cheat mechanics, I would totally understand why they would have that position.
Right.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But Bungie's anti-cheat system doesn't like Steam Deck and will ban you for trial. Okay, so it's maybe not necessarily Bungie, it's BattleEye. It's like BattleEye's gotta get it together.
There are a bunch of games though, like on Steam that, you know, Slay the Spire. You could play it on your phone as well, but like, you know, there's a bunch that I probably would have fun playing on a road trip or going on a flight, but
just be playing Elden Ring and the fans like,
right? That's what I'm thinking. And could I just bring my laptop and then use a controller instead? Like, I don't know. I don't know how much I care about the Steam Deck. I think it's cool, but I will probably
get Gen 2. When it comes to new stuff like that, I do tend to wait till Gen 2. I've heard they've also already had issues with stick drift when it's like, you know, a couple of days into having a Steam Deck. Mm-hmm. And that concerns me because you can't just buy a new controller. It's part of the thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll probably wait till Gen 2 when they work out the kinks, you know, because I feel like you are part of a beta test when you purchase something brand new like that.
I also have it's funny, I don't really have a huge desire to like buy it because like I never leave my PC anyways. Like,
listen, I got two kids, and when I get in the car and I'm driving 10 minutes down the road, I'm bored. Do something. You know what I'm saying? It's like the thing, you have a Steam Deck, you know what I'm saying? Like, I will
you
invest.
Don't teach them, you don't educate them during this drive. You're just like, here's
Hey, people who shame parents for not taking advantage of every single opportunity, bro. It's like a lot of times you're coming off of a 2-hour play session with that same kid, and kids just have a lot of energy, way more than adults do. So it's like, yeah, hand them the Steam Deck and let them blow off some energy.
Yeah.
Mental time focusing on that instead.
In that example, it's like a Nintendo Switch would just work better. And
no.
Your kids, really?
Nintendo Switch is the weakest freaking console in the history. Like,
no, but like
my son said, they're waiting on load times on Minecraft, which is just a bunch of freaking pixels. It's like,
really?
Dude. And he's over there whining. He's like, it's not even rendering, Dad. I can't see my house. It's right on the other side of the hill. I'm like, because that thing sucks, kid.
I would have thought that the kids would be like, oh, Pokemon. Let me play Pokemon on Nintendo Switch. But they're like, no, this is garbage. I want some graphics.
His son's an engineer already.
My kid, you make that joke, my boy, not my girl, my boy is very much has the mind of an engineer. He plays with Legos, and he comes up with like concoctions and like mechanisms I never would have thought of. I was like, put brick on top of brick, it looked like house, you know what I'm saying? But my boy is very much like has an engineer's mind, and so when he's playing on the Switch, there's a lot of times where he's like, man, this looks like trash, like And he's like, Dad, when I play the same game on the PlayStation 4, which is old gen, it can load three times faster. And I'm like, yeah, you're absolutely right.
So this whole time I've been thinking like Nintendo is still making like games for kids and that's why the graphics don't matter as much. But really, it's just the nostalgic adults that keep buying Pokemon games and the actual kids yeah. are like, these graphics are trashed here. Like, give me something better.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Well, we went a little bit long today. I think we are going to call it there. This was episode 75. Thank you so much for watching. We appreciate it.
That was fun.
Had some great viewership today. We took a little break last week. We'll be here next Wednesday, same time, 7 p.m. MST, 9 p.m. Eastern time. I'm MTashed.
I'm Cactus HD.
I'm True Vanguard.
And this was the Real Gamer Hour RGH podcast.
Bye.
Bye.